This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. With a half dozen retired generals publicly calling for the resignation of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, President Bush interrupted a family holiday at Camp David to issue a statement of support. Secretary Rumsfeld's energetic and steady leadership, the president said, is exactly what is needed at this critical point. Mr. Rumsfeld himself entered the controversy in an interview on Al Arabiya television.
There are, I don't know, what, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 generals, active duty, retired, and there's thousands of them. And there are several who are not on active duty, who don't have, not current, who have made comments. And that doesn't surprise me at all.
Retired Marine Corps Lieutenant General Bernard Traynor is co-author with Michael Gordon of the New York Times of the new book, Cobra 2, The Inside Story of the Invasion and the Occupation of Iraq. General Traynor joins us in our studios. General, thanks very much for being back with us.
My pleasure, Scott.
And your book relied extensively on sources within the military. How many of these high-ranking generals 3 years ago said, Mr. President or Secretary Rumsfeld, I think we are on the verge of making a big mistake and there's still time to avoid it? Mm-hmm. And how many of them 3 years ago said nothing or just something like, are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah, I think that's the latter is the case. You make your case and then you follow out your orders with a great deal of obedience and a can-do sort of attitude. But as General Greg Newbold pointed out, you know, he said, I didn't push back hard enough. Mm-hmm. And I think this is true with some of the other generals. They could have pushed back harder than they did. For example...
Well, let me just interrupt. So when the Joint Chiefs Chairman, Peter Pace, says, we had then and have every opportunity now to speak our minds, that's true?
Well, yes. Theoretically is true, but then there are a lot of impediments to speaking your mind.
Well, help us understand that.
First of all, there is the tendency to keep disputes in-house. Secondly, there is this sense of loyalty.
Civilian authority.
To the civilian authority. Yeah. Then there's the concern, well, you know, if I speak out, it's not going to do any good. I probably can do more good inside the tent than outside the tent. And the other one, which shouldn't be neglected, is the fact that there is a feeling in the military if there seems to be a broadcast of dissonance or disagreement, it's going to hurt morale and therefore operational capability. And that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. If a military officer, particularly at the highest rank, feels that strongly that a policy is a mistake, he or she can resign.
Absolutely.
Do you expect any resignations?
No, I don't think so.
Why haven't there been resignations before this?
Nothing is new under the earth. And it's kind of useful to go down back and look at what happened during the Vietnam War, because you had a certain parallel with McNamara and President Johnson kind of running roughshod over the military and disregarding their advice. H.R. McMaster, who was a very successful Army colonel, wrote a book called Dereliction of Duty. He found fault with the Joint Chiefs of Staff for not standing up to McNamara and to the president. And he relates in that book, and I'm sure it's true because he certainly has documented everything, that the Joint Chiefs of Staff did think at one time that it might be worthwhile for them to resign en masse. They concluded that would do more damage than good in the long run. The damage that something that could do might be far greater than the problem of immediacy that it solved. It smacks of a rebellion against civilian leadership. Mm-hmm. It has a disunifying effect upon the military. So in large measure, I don't see anything as dramatic as a senior retirement or resignation coming.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested when you use a phrase like running, the Secretary of Defense running roughshod over the military, because I realize you might use the phrase casually, because as I probably don't have to remind you, a former military officer, technically, the Secretary of Defense can't run roughshod over the military because he's the Secretary of Defense. There's civilian control of the military in this country.
Oh, well, that's true. But when I say running roughshod, it was the management technique, which I think a lot of people in business use, where they will have a department or a division chief come in to brief him on subject X, and the fellow comes in with all his briefing notes and his slides and so forth, and no sooner starts the program, and he's interrupted by the chief executive, and he's asked questions, and said, well, we come to that a little bit later. Well, then he keeps drifting them off, and what happens is that the fellow who comes in to make his case never gets an opportunity to make his case. And that is what the technique that Mr. Rumsfeld used, and he did it both orally, and he did it with what was known as snowflakes. He was sent out these just blizzards of little white memos asking questions across a high variety of subjects, and the central command for a part of the planning process was found themselves chasing their tail trying to respond to this. So it was a technique to get across not only my authority as Secretary of Defense, but also to shape your thinking to conform to my belief and my thinking. Mm. That's what I mean by roughshod.
In your career as a military man, have you ever seen this many retired high-ranking generals stepping out in public on something before?
I spent 40 years in the military, not all of them as a general. Started off as a private. But this I think, is sui generis. But I do think it's simply a blip. But, you know, it's a symptom of something that has to be addressed. And an administration and the Capitol Hill has to address these issues. And when I say administration, the current one and any Democratic administration that may come in.
General Traynor, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Scott.
Retired Marine General Bernard Traynor. He's co-author with Michael Gordon of Cobra II, The Inside Story of the Invasion and Occupation of Iraq.